Okay, so how do we get back to Sinai? This is the
Rome. You post this, Rabbi?
I try to post them. I don't always get to it.
Yeah.
But some of them are on Wai Torah. So this is the Ramban's response to Rashi on the famous Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? Comment is quoted here in the beginning of the Ramban, and the question is based. Hey, welcome. On the strange appearance of Har Sinai suddenly here all the way at the end of Sefer Vayikra, right? So Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'Har Sinai leimor. This Hashem speaks to Moshe at Har Sinai, and the entire parsha that continues is the parsha of Shemitah, and it's a very long, detailed parsha. So the Ramban starts out by quoting Rashi's explanation, and the famous question, Ma inyan Shemitah le inyan Har Sinai, what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? V'lo nim namru kol mitzvot mi Sinai, all of the mitzvot were commanded at Har Sinai. Ela ma Shemitah namru kol upratoteha v'dikdukeha, just as Shemitah, all of its general principles, all of its specific applications and particulars were given over at Har Sinai. Af kula, and so too with all of the mitzvot, namru klalotayin and pratotayin v'dikdukayin misinai, all of them, all of the details, general principles, details, and particulars were given over at Har Sinai. Kach shnuya b'Torah Kohanim, this is the language of the Midrash in Torah Kohanim, in the Sifra. V'nira li, says Rashi, shekach perusho, my interpretation of this passage in Torah Kohanim is as follows. V'fishel matzinu shmitat karko nishenishnet barvot moav. Right? In general, when it comes to mitzvot, many mitzvot are repeated twice in the Torah. But in the general rule for how the repetition takes place is the first time it's somewhere earlier in the Torah, Shemot Bamir Vayikra Bamidbar, and then the second time it's in Dvarim. Here, right, Arvo Moav, right, that's the end, that's where the bulk of Dvarim takes place, right, that we start out Dvarim, we're told that Moshe is speaking to Bnei Israel in Arvo Moav, and he repeats the Mishnei Torah, the repetition of the Torah, and he gives them many of the mitzvot are repeated in with extra detail, additional detail, less detail, but in different ways, teaching new things. Here, this is not the case. We don't have a special reteaching in Arvot Moav. Rather, here. Right? It's mentioned in Shemot, and then it's again mentioned here. It's mentioned in Mishpatim, and then again here. So Rashi's explanation of what's going on here, it's not just the fact that Har Sinai is mentioned that is troubling, according to the Midrash, in Rashi's view. There's something unique about the fact that it's repeated earlier on, and specifically because it's repeated earlier on with this extensive repetition, the Midrash derives from here, just as this was said at Har Sinai, so too all of the Parshiot, whether they follow a unique pattern like this or the typical pattern of a general mention somewhere in the Torah, and then a repetition somewhere in Dvarim, or perhaps not. But all of the mitzvot that are mentioned anywhere in the Torah were said down to the detail at Har Sinai. So that's Rashi's explanation. Now the Ramban, the next paragraph says, "Ve'eino nachon be'einai klal." None of this is not correct in my eyes at all. Not Chazal, but Rashi's explanation of where Chazal are coming from. Shahar be'mitzvot kishmita shelonishnu barvot moav. If you look, if not every single mitzvah in the Torah is repeated in Dvarim. V'neida b'hen shenemru kol tem b'pritotem misinai. Obama, we know about all of them that they were given over at Har Sinai. And here the Ramban is quibbling a little bit with Rashi. It's not just a quibble. He's saying, don't even think that every single detail was given at Har Sinai. Right? The entire Torah was given at Har Sinai. The Ramban wouldn't deny that. But what that means, according to the Ramban, is that the entirety of the Torah was given to Moshe as a principle at Har Sinai, and the specific parshiot, some of them were given to Moshe at Har Sinai, but some of them were given at the extension of Har Sinai. Right, and this goes back to the Ramban's point that's essential to his understanding of the structure of Shemot, that what is the Mishkan? It is an extension of Har Sinai. Right? And it's not just that the goal of the Mishkan is to recreate the experience of Har Sinai spiritually for the Jewish people, it's also that it continues the revelation and allows the revelation that starts at Har Sinai to continue, with Moshe himself continuing to receive the details that are expansions of the entire Torah that was given to Moshe at Har Sinai, at the mountain itself. But right, so in throwing in his Oba Ohel Moed, right, that's not the main point that the Ramban is making. His main issue with Rashi is that he doesn't think that's what is troubling Chazal here. That for Ramban, what's really troubling Chazal is very simply the fact that suddenly, out of nowhere, there's a mention of something of mitzvot that were given at Har Sinai, now all the way at the end of Vayikra, right? And for the Ramban, the whole point is that, well, wait a second, the mitzvot could have been given if this was given at this time chronologically, why not give it at the Ohel Moed? As many of the other mitzvot are given in the Ohel Moed, and the Ramban doesn't want to simply say Ein Mukdam Umuchar BaTorah. Oh, it's okay for everything to go out of order. Things only go out of order with a reason for the Ramban. So this is the Ramban starts with Ibn Ezra, and most of the Ibn Ezra he's going to reject as well, but we'll see at the end he's going to accept one part of Ibn Ezra. V'inyan ha-parsha hazot shenichtav b'kan, the reason for this parsha here, seemingly out of order, Amar Rabbi Avraham. So Ibn Ezra's explanation is as follows. Ki zot ha-brit ha-ktuva b'parshat ve'ela ha-mishpatim. The Shemitah was really given over originally as part of the commandment of Hashem to Moshe in the context of the covenant in Eila Mishpatim. Remember that the covenant starts in Yitro, where Hashem says to Moshe, explain to the Jewish people that they can enter a covenant with me and become a unique people with unique commandments, and they have to keep their side of the covenant. I'll keep my side of the covenant. The Jewish people agree. They say Nasa, and at the end of Mishpatim, they say Nasha v'Nishpa. What is Mishpatim? Mishpatim is the actual words of the covenant that Hashem gave over to Moshe during that first 40 days and 40 nights when he went out to Har Sinai, and it was. That covenant that was it was those mitzvot that were the sampling over which that initial covenant was established. According to Ibn Ezra, and everyone agrees, well, Shemitah is mentioned initially in the context of Parsha Mishpatim, in short, in brief. Here you have all of the details mentioned, but it refers to the shorter version from Mishpatim here. Why refer back to it here? Ukshikiblu al nafsham nasev nishma az nichrata habrit v'amar lehem kol ha-parsha. So really that entire parsha was told to Bnei Israel all the way back during that initial striking of the covenant between the Jewish people and Hashem. This kira b'makom hazeh l'chaber t'na'ei ha'aretz. The reason why it's mentioned here is because contextually it belongs here. Here, at the end of Vayikra, is the place that the conditions for living in the land of Israel are mentioned. Ki kasher amar al ha'arayot, we saw 2 weeks ago on Shabbos that the prohibited relationships are not just important mitzvot that are connected to Vayikra in the sense that they're connected to Kedoshim Tiyu, to being holy. They are fundamental to keeping the sanctity of the Jewish people and keeping them in the land. Without that, without them fulfilling, without them limiting prohibited relationships, they will not be able to stay in the land. It's one of the tnaei haaretz. It's one of the conditions for them staying in the land. Ki kasher amar al arayot ki ba'avuram takio tam haaretz. Just as it says when it comes to the prohibited relationships, that if they violate them, the land will throw them out. Kein amar reparshat im bechukotai al shabtot haaretz. Similarly, when it comes to the Shemitot, they are conditional. You keep Shemitah, you stay in the land. You don't keep Shemitah, you get kicked out of the land. But in order to do that, the Torah needs to give the full detailed version of Shemitah, not just the short version that is mentioned in Parshat Mishpatim when that sampling of mitzvot over which the covenant was made is mentioned. Right, and you see, I gave you at the top here from Vayikra Chavav, and this is from Bechukotai. So it's perfect. We're doing a Ramban that's relevant both to Bahar and Bechukotai on the week of a double parsha. Right? Not only do you have Shemitah at the beginning of Bahar, but it's also mentioned there according to the Ibn Ezra specifically in order to create this continuity, just as the arayot were mentioned as specific mitzvot that have to be kept if the Jewish people want to stay in the land. So too, you keep your shemitah, you stay in the land. You don't keep your shemitah, you're kicked off of the land. And that's what you have in pasuk lamed dalid, perikafah pasuk lamed dalid. Az tirtza aretz et shabtoteha kol yumei ashabavatem beretz oivichem. Az tishbat aretz v'sa et shabtoteha. Right, you're only going to once you're kicked off the land, then the land will catch up on its on your debt of shmitot to it. While you are off in Galut, so again we're going to see that there's one small piece of this Ibn Ezra that the Ramban likes. What the Ramban doesn't like is the fact that it still doesn't explain sufficiently for the Ramban's literary sensibilities why the mitzvah Shemitah is mentioned just in very brief in Mishpatim, and not given all the detail there, and yet it's given all the detail here. Why give all the detail here? So, okay, I understand that you want to explain that this is the place in the Torah that explains that there are certain conditions for staying in the land, and that makes logical sense. Like the first half of Vayikra is establishing the sanctity of the camp in the Midbar, and now there's almost this transition in the second half of Vayikra to the sanctity of the camp as they prepare to enter the land of Israel, and this staying, when they're in the land of Israel, they're staying in one place. The goal is not to move around, the goal is not to be kicked out, and the goal is to stay put. So it makes sense that you would mention certain principles that need to be absolutely kept there in great detail in order to stay in the land. But why not mention all the specifics in Mishpatim? So the Ramban has an explanation that answers that. So now he says Lufi da'ati. Right, in contrast to the Eino Nachon Be'enai Klal, right? And again, this is if you remember the very first shir that I gave on the Ramban, I quoted a line from the Ramban, where he describes what the way he approaches Rashi versus Ibn Ezra, that with Rashi he has this abounding love, but but a certain tension. And in Ibn Ezra, there's an outside tension, but an ahava mesuteret, a hidden love, right? You see the ahava mesuteret here. That lefi dati ki nichtava kan beseder nachon. Really, everything here is in the correct order. Ki perush bahar Sinai. The reason for the need for the mention of the fact that this took place at Har Sinai here is ba'alotos sham lekabel luchot shniot. Bahar Sinai refers to the second time that Moshe went up, not the first time, but the second time when he came up to Har Sinai to receive the second luchot. Ubeyor ha'inyan. And this is what's going on. Ki b'tchilat arba'im yom. Harishonim, Shaluchot Harishonot. Katav Moshe b'Sefer Brit, et kol divrei Hashem, ved kol mishpatim hanemarim sham. Right? In the first time Moshe went up to receive the first set of Luchot and establish the covenant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all of those Mishpatim. Everything that is said in Parshat Mishpatim is received by Moshe the first time he goes up and receives the first set of Luchot. And what happens? He comes down and Vayizrok Sham, Vayizrok Dama Brit Alaam, he doesn't come down. This is the covenant over which the initial covenant is established. Ukishachatu be'egel. Then the people sin with the Chet Ha'egel when he comes down. V'nishtabru aluchot. So then the luchot are broken. It's as if the covenant that was established before he went up for those first 40 days is completely destroyed. Any covenant that those mishpatim represent is as if destroyed. It's as if that initial covenant was completely nullified from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to send Bnei Israel into Eretz Canaan to give them the land that he had promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but not to give them the Torah. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives Moshe and Bnei Israel and gives them the second set of luchot, Tzivahu bevrit chadasha, he commands them in a new covenant. Right, and here the Ramban this is the Ramban taking a term that was very popular, but had a very different meaning for many. Right, Brit Chadasha refers to the new covenant, meaning the Ramban is saying, yeah, there's a new covenant, but the new covenant was long before Christianity. And what they call the new covenant was because the first covenant was broken with the Chet Ha'egel, and the second covenant is the same Torah as the first covenant, just with a new and slightly more compassionate set of organizing principles, but the same Torah, same mitzvot. There's no lack of expectation or lack of commandment in the Brit Hachadasha. But he says now the Brit Hachadasha is given, the new covenant is given. Shenemar Inyanochi Koreit Brit. I'm going to reestablish the covenant. V'chzir Shama Mitzvot Hachamarot Shenemru B'Seder Be'el Mishpatim. What happens then at the end of Parshat Ki Tisa is we have a repetition of many of the same mitzvot. So for example, you'll remember Shalosh Regalim the Isser Shabbos and Isser Machalat Asurot all mentioned again at the end of Kitisa. Why? Because some of the most serious mitzvot are specifically mentioned explicitly again as part of the reestablishment of the covenant. Because again, you need a sampling of mitzvot over which the covenant is established. Right? Ve'amar k'tov l'chat adverim ha'ele. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, write down these things, ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele karati itcha brit ve'et Yisrael. Because over these things, these words, meaning this second set of mitzvot, again, all 613 mitzvot were commanded from the very beginning, were expected from the very beginning, but these mitzvot are repeated, certain of those mitzvot were repeated again the second time around, and new ones introduced as well. in that context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the reestablishment of the covenant.
Now, is he suggesting in any way that in that Shemitah, Shabbos, Yom Tov are more fundamental?
Yes, very right. That's a topic of another discussion completely, right? The question is, are any mitzvot any more serious than other mitzvot, right? And this is a controversial thing, right? This is something that I've spoken about in the past. Rav Amital felt very strongly that the approach that says that all mitzvot are created equal is wrong. Not all mitzvot are created equal. There is such a thing as certain mitzvot being more serious than other mitzvot, and if you don't recognize that, then you're going to end up prioritizing wrong. Does that mean that any mitzvot are unimportant? No, chas v'shalom. They're all important, but at the same time, teaching my children the sanctity of life and not to steal is more important than teaching them the right order to cut their nails or whatever the smaller dikduke halacha might be. Okay. This is a topic for a different day. Now the Ramban still has to explain the order, and this everything he's been giving until now is sort of the introduction to the order, because basically what happens Mishpatim is where Shemitah is initially mentioned, and now he says V'yinei b'sefer harisha, habrit harishon. This is the next big paragraph, the fourth to last paragraph. Nemra shvit b'chlalo k'mosh yizkarti. There's a general mention of Shemitah in very general terms, not particular terms, in that first covenant in Mishpatim. Shenemra v'ashvit tishmentena untashta v'ata b'vrit hazot hashenit. But specifically in the context of the second brit, the repetition of the brit after the Chet Egel, Nema b'frata v'titipka v'onsheha. Right, and see, he picks up Chazal's language here. Right, the details of it were said at Har Sinai, but at the second repetition. Uve'eta brit harishana shehu b'arba'im yom rishonim nitztava Moshe al mishkan. Right, at the time of the first, however. Right now, the Ramban's going to explain. Well, why, if that's the case, that all these details were given during the second covenant, why are they not told until now? Why? Because it's a very good reason. Because there was a whole set of things that were told during the first covenant when Moshe went up for the first 40 days that couldn't be told when Moshe came back down. Nothing could be told when Moshe came back down, because instead of telling Bnei Yisrael what he had just learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he went up, he has to deal with the mess of the Chet HaEgel and first reestablish that there will be any covenant to talk about in the first place. But when Moshe was up there that first time, what he was receiving was the details of the Mishkan. So then Moshe comes down, right? When he comes down, he tells them to make the second covenant. Yarad Moshe v'itzavem et kol asher tziva Hashem oto b'har Sinai v'haya masa mishkan mechlalam. And then Moshe came down after the second 40 days, and he gives them all of the mitzvot, even the mitzvot from the first 40 days, including the mitzvot of the Mishkan. V'az hikil Moshe, right, then Vayakel Moshe b'nei Yisrael, then that's when Parsha Vayakel Pekudei happens. Moshe gathers the people, adapt b'nei Yisrael, v'yamar lehem kivatchila, and he tells them all of the halachot of the Mishkan as was commanded to him that first time when he went up for the first 40 days. Eila advarim asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam b'melachot ha-Mishkan. Right, again, this is the beginning of Parsha Vayakel, where everything needs to be repeated again because there's been a break in the covenant in the meantime, but it's already been said. Bnei Israel accepted this now with great joy. Vayetzum lefanav, they left from before Moshe miyad, and immediately ubo kulam v'natnu handava. Everyone came and they gave the donation necessary. V'asu ha-mishkan v'shlimu lachton. They created the mishkan. They completed all of the work necessary to build the mishkan. V'kasher ukam. And when the mishkan was erected, miyad v'ikra el Moshe v'idaber Hashem elav me'ohel moed. At that point, immediately, the moment the Mishkan is erected, there's no time to waste. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to call to Moshe and give him all of the halacha necessary in order to proceed in this Mishkan and run this Mishkan, right? We're not going to leave the Mishkan empty until HaKadosh Baruch Hu can command Moshe all of the mitzvot necessary for the upkeep of the Mishkan and for using the Mishkan. That's what all of Vayikra until now has been. V'tzivah b'korbanot u'v'chol Torat Kohanim. Right? That's what Vayikra is. That's the crux of Vayikra, Torat Kohanim. The Torah, the proper procedure for the Kohanim to run the Avodat Hashem in the Mishkan. Moshe tzivah kol el Aaron v'albana v'el kol b'nei Yisrael miyad. And immediately Moshe relays all of that to Moshe and to Aaron and to his children and to all of B'nai Yisrael. So what happens? Moshe comes down from Har Sinai. The first time, he can't tell them anything because he has to deal with the mess of the egg. It goes up the second time, he gets the second brief, which again goes through all these mitzvot. He comes down and he tells them the Mishkan. They immediately build the Mishkan. Immediately he needs to get all of the commandments necessary for Vayikra, right? First the Karbanot and then how to actually encamp around the Mishkan. And now, finally, he gets to the opportunity to tell them the other mitzvot that were already told to him up at Har Sinai, and specifically the second time around, where Shemitah, one of the more serious mitzvot, is repeated and expanded with pratoteha, v'dikdukeha, v'klaloteha, not just general klalim, but also all of the particulars, right? So now, the kasher.
So Ramban is not that he's just saying, but he's saying man can only do one thing at a time.
Exactly, I mean, right.
Hashem could tell you everything in one spot, or even in two spots. He could tell you everything twice,
right?
But Moshe's got a. He just can't do it all.
Right, exactly, right.
Now we got to do this, now we got to do this. Yeah. By the way, there's also this.
Right, exactly, right. And now I'm getting back to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me the second time, which I hadn't even gotten to yet, because I was still back on the first time after I came down the second time, because I wanted to tell you the Mishkan. And there was a, you know, and the Ramban is building on the fact that there's this great exuberance to get the Mishkan started the moment they come down, that Moshe comes down from Har Sinai. So it makes sense, right? You might think, oh, well, logic would dictate. Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, tells them everything after the second time in Har Sinai. He tells them all the mitzvot from the first time and the second time. But no, that's not the point. The point is Moshe realizes, no, I come down from Har Sinai the second time. I'm telling them the Mishkan right away. They're going to build the Mishkan right away. We're going to get the Mishkan started right away. And then, now we'll get back to all the other mitzvot at Har Sinai, and especially those really important mitzvot that are the foundation for your staying in the land that you are about to enter. Right, v'kasher ishlim amar lahem od tzivah oti Hashem b'har Sinai lefaresh lachem ha-shmita v'ayovel v'ilchru lachem al kol ha-mitzvah v'ha-mishpatim brit chadasha be'Allah uvishvua. Right, it's only now. Right, not only is says the Ramban, is Moshe only now telling them all the mitzvot from the second time he was up on Har Sinai, only now is the second covenant being completed. Right? And how does that take place? It takes place with an addition that didn't happen with the first covenant. The first covenant, right, it's interesting. We always the way we think of the first covenant based on the description of the Malach, who is very severe when it comes to the first covenant, is that there's this Malach in your midst, and he's gonna burn you up the second you do anything wrong. But what's interesting is that the first time the covenant is made, there is no accompanying curse if you do the wrong thing. The second time the covenant is made, right, where, here, with imbechukotai tishmeru, right, if you follow me, there you have an accompanying curse if you don't follow the covenant. So even though there is actually, it's the second covenant which is given with the Yud Gimel Midot Rachamim, there's a compassion there, there's also a curse, at least, that Bnei Yisrael need to hear along with that covenant that strengthens it, right? And he says that all of that is happening now. So the second covenant isn't being completed until now. The establishment of the covenant, you don't need all of that, another time where you have all the formalities of the ritual of throwing half the blood on the people and half the blood on the Mizbeach, symbolic of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol. That you don't need now because that was already done during the first covenant. Rather, with these alot and klalot, namely the chukotai, they now accept the covenant. The Ramban makes a beautiful point. He says this is what is meant at the end of the chukotai. Pasuk Mem Vav. So it says, right after all of the awful klalot, right, you know, then v'tiret ha'aret etchaptoteha, and the land is going to actually finally have its payback time. Eile hachukim ha'mishpatim ha'torot asher natan Hashem beino uvein bnei Yisrael b'har Sinai. Beyond Moshe, this is the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established between Himself and Bnei Yisrael in Har Sinai. So the Ramban says, why does it need to say between Himself and Bnei Yisrael? Hashem commands us, and we do it. It's right. Commandments are commandments. What the Ramban is pointing out is that that what's mentioned at the end of the Chukotai is that these are the accompanying alot, the accompanying curses for the reestablishment of the covenant that happens when Moshe comes down from Har Sinai after he receives the second Luchot. And these aren't just mitzvot, right? There are 613 mitzvot, but only some of those mitzvot were the vehicle through which the covenant was established. And these are the vehicle through which the covenant is established, and in the Chukotah you have the curses that come along with them that strengthen them, and that say, this time around, we're even strengthening the covenant, it's even an even stronger covenant in this Brit Chadasha that is not going to be broken. And that's why it needs to say, Beino Uvein Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us plenty of mitzvot in Bamidbar, but those aren't Beino Vein Bnei Yisrael. Those are a mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. It's not that those mitzvot weren't part of the vehicle of the covenant. These mitzvot that were given at Har Sinai that second time around were again part of the vehicle of the covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. Right, so v'zet ha'masher natan Hashem beino uvein bnei Yisrael b'har Sinai ki hu hanotein lahem bevrit hazot. Right, that's he's giving them these mitzvot in the context of this second covenant. Ki machal lahem al pi hatnaim ha'elu kemoshe perashti b'sof kitisa, because based on these principles, these conditions, he forgave them. The conditions of the new covenant at the Yud Gimel Midot, but also there were these accompanying curses to strengthen the new Brit.
So they knew they were forgiven,
right?
Earlier,
exactly.
But they didn't find out what the terms
of the reestablishment of the covenant were
Which is why Naaseh v'Nishma doesn't show up till Kitisa.
No, Naaseh v'Nishma is at the end of Mishpatim. Yeah. But again, I think the pshat of Naaseh v'Nishma isn't that we are going to do even though we haven't heard them yet. Pshat of Na'aseh Nishma is we are accepting upon them and we will follow them.
Right.
Not Nishma in the sense of we will now learn them. We will follow them. But the point is here, yes, this is the reestablishment of the covenant. Many of these mitzvot have already been given over the first time. They're given some of them though are only being given over to Bnei Israel for the very first time now, and whether they were part of the Eila HaMishpatim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to Moshe his first time at Har Sinai or the second time at Har Sinai, it doesn't matter. They're now the part of the context of the new covenant that's only being sealed at this point, once Bnei Israel have built the Mishkan, established that everything is up and running properly, and they're completing this initial covenant, the second covenant, the Brit Chadasha after Egel Hazav. Now he says there's a third Brit, right? V'chein Brit Arvot Moav Kein Haya. Similarly, there was another covenant, a reestablishment of the covenant 40 years later, right? Because now you see it at the end of Ori Kedoshim, Achrimot Kedoshim Bahar, the Chukotai, the Torah is already preparing Bnei Israel to enter the land, saying, okay, here are those really important mitzvot that are going to keep you in the land. Right, and then there's another catastrophe, the catastrophe of the Chet Hamraglim. Bnei Israel end up 40 years in the Midbar, and then they need another covenant to renew what had been established at Har Sinai, and that's what happens at Arvot Moav, with the repetition of the Torah, that Sefer Dvarim, and again, another Allah and Klala, that is the second set of klalot in Parshat Ki Tavo. V'chein brit arvot moav, this final paragraph, kein haya, shekiblu aleihem haTorah ba'alot v'klalot ahem. V'yeh brit. And those alot and klalot were part of the covenant. K'mo she'nemar, eila divrei ha-brit asher tziva Hashem et Moshe lechrot et Bnei Israel be'eretz Moav, milvad ha-brit asher karati tam v'chorev. Right? In addition to the brit that he established with them at Har Sinai, which is this, right? Now, the brit that he established with them initially, that was broken. But this one is kept. It was never broken. We just lost the continuity. It's a new generation. That generation needs to renew the covenant, and then we go into Israel and receive it. And receive the land that all of this is very much connected to. And by the way, the Ramban in beginning of Parshat Nitzavim actually even says that it's possible that second brit in Dvarim had accompanying with it the same thing that the first one had, not the one after the Chet Egel, but that first one had with the establishment, the break, the animals, the throwing of the blood on Bnei Israel and on the Mizbeach, again symbolically establishing that connection, connecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the form of the Mizbeach and Bnei Israel in the form of the blood that's being thrown toward Bnei Israel, that happened as well at that second or third establishment of the covenant. And now, finally, this last line in the Ramban, he says, he goes back to the Ibn Ezra, the emet amaro, and it's true what he, the Ibn Ezra, said, shebitna'ei ha'aretz hashmita v'hayovel kasher yaskir b'tochachot. And it's true what Ibn Ezra said, that it's in this context that we have the Tana'ei Ha'aretz, the conditions under which the land will be kept by the Jewish people, namely Shemitah and Yovel, as well as in Kedoshim, Achrimon and Kedoshim, the Arayot. All of these are mentioned here. And all of this is now expanded here in the context of this reestablishment of the covenant. Now that Moshe has come down, has reestablished the covenant with Bnei Israel in the sense of recreating Har Sinai on land, not up in heaven, but Har Sinai for Bnei Yisrael, which is the Mishkan. They've reestablished. They've established that. They've established the Karbanon. Everything's up and running. Now they established it. Now they seal the second time around, and gives them all of these mitzvot, and these mitzvot prepare them not only to thrive in the Midbar, but to thrive in the land in Israel. It's as if right here at the end of Bechukatai, we're about to be ready to enter the land of Israel, and that's really where Bamidbar starts, with the excitement of preparation to enter the land until something else goes wrong.
Shkoyach. Shkoyach. The Ramban.